Well, we have a screen, we have a computer, and we have our brother Gordon. We're all set for a nice sermon tonight. I'm thankful to have my brother here with us tonight. I'm thankful to have him as a neighbor for a quick call, and he will be quickly down at my house to help me fix something at my house that has gone astray. Thankful for his love for my family, opportunity to grow up with him close by. And yes, I think I'm in a constant state of growing up. Often, and I'm grateful to have both he and his lovely wife, Sister Pat, as our neighbors, but I won't dilly-dally anymore. I'll let our brother get up here, and I'll get out of the way so he can preach. I give you our brother, Gordon, Elder Gordon McCann, is what I tried to say. I remembered the name. I just didn't get the names right, so I give you our brother, Gordon.
Thank you, Stephen. Good evening to each one of you. Can you hear me okay? Is it not on? I thought I turned it on. I'm not on? Okay, it's what it says I am is on, though. Let's see. Yeah, that's okay. Well, anyhow, not to delay. Well, Stephen talked about me coming down and helping. Well, the last time I saw him, he was in my attic helping me with a diary just before I left to go on a trip. Don't you love technology? We almost have a plan here in Phoenix, but hopefully God has a plan for each one of us, right? Are you there? Huh?
Okay, success. Good evening again. It's good to see each one of you here. It's been a while since I stood before you. I like the scripture by Nephi, the one that's quoted here. I glory in plainness. I glory in truth. I glory in my Jesus, for he hath redeemed my soul from hell. There's a lot there that I like. And I haven't always presented things in plainness. I try, and I hope and pray that I am going to be able to be plain tonight. God has a plan. From the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, he was an integral part of that plan. Behold, I am he which was prepared from the foundation of the world to redeem my people. This is in the book of Ether in the first chapter, verse 77. And he's speaking to the brother of Jared. Behold, I am Jesus Christ. I am the Father and the Son. And in me shall all mankind have life. And that eternally, even they which shall believe on my name. And they shall become my sons and my daughters. And really, everything from the foundation of the world to today is pointed to that very thing, Jesus Christ. And he's the founder of all things, the creation of all things. He came that we might have life. First part of that plan of God, there's a thing called the plan of redemption. Now, you might want to type that in your Bible search and you won't find it. You'll see redeemed and sometimes redemption, but not the plan of redemption. You find that only in the Book of Mormon, those words. And you find that in the Book of Mormon, it's more plain. So I would suggest that you go there more often to see and understand these things. I'm going to present you these scriptures. I hope that you write them down. because there's a lot of scriptures that back these things up. I only got the ones that would be more pointed tonight. For he is the same yesterday and today and forever. That's Jesus Christ. And the way is prepared for all men from the foundation of the world, and that's what he had said. If it so be that they repent and come unto him, for he that diligently seeketh shall find. And that's a promise. And that was from the very beginning to this day. And this is in 1 Nephi 1, 27 through 29. So part of that plan of redemption, you have the atonement. All right? And part of the atonement is the resurrection and the judgment. They fall underneath the atonement. To reclaim man. Man was cut off from the presence of God when he sinned at the very beginning, when Adam and Eve sinned. So there had to be an atonement. Jesus Christ being an integral part of that plan. And with that, there had to be a resurrection, and along with that, there had to be judgment. And also the atonement, which hath been prepared from the foundation of the world. See, all these things from the very beginning. That thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and should be diligent in keeping his commandments and continue in the faith even unto the end of his life. I mean, the life of the mortal body. Now, this is in Mosiah in the second chapter. We read this in the 10th verse. You can go to the 19th chapter of Alma, and you might want to write this down. Verse 105. You find, and it talks about, he was talking to his son, Coriantum. And he was a minister who had fallen from grace. And so he was trying to reclaim his son. And he was talking about these things that he knew for with his son. And the thing that he said in verse 105 of the 19th chapter, he says, but God ceaseth not to be God, meaning that, and mercy claimeth the penitent. That's talking about from the very beginning when man was cut off, that he couldn't change what had taken place. And mercy claimeth the penitent, or the repentant. And mercy cometh because of the atonement. And the atonement bringeth to pass the resurrection of the dead. And the resurrection of the dead bringeth back men into the presence of God. It goes, you can see it laid out there very plain. But here I said the atonement and the resurrection of judgment. So, and I used Mosiah because of the words that he used here. But if you want to understand it more fully, you can go there in the 19th chapter and you can read about it. You can also read about it in Abinadi's words as well. So part of that in the atonement is the salvation. I say that this is the man that receiveth salvation through the atonement, which was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, which ever were ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or which ever shall be, even unto the end of the world. And this is the means by whereby salvation cometh. Now, verse 106 in that chapter 19 of Alma, it says, and thus they are restored into his presence because of the resurrection. To be what? Judged according to their works. Salvation comes. To be saved is that they what? They prepared themselves for this judgment. According to their works, according to the law and justice. For behold, justice exercises all his demands, and mercy claimeth all which is her own. And thus none but the truly penitent are saved. So really, when you hear about, well, are you saved by works? You can say, no, I'm saved by mercy. And how do you obtain mercy? Through your works. Showing that you're keeping the commandments of God. So, if you want to, and I want, this will be a summation of what we just talked about, okay? And you can find it in the Book of Mormon in the fourth chapter, and it'll be like four or five verses here, but you'll see it up here. The God of miracles. But behold, I will shew unto you a God of miracles, even the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And it is that same God which created the heavens and the earth and all things in them are, which is Jesus Christ. Behold, he created Adam. That's pretty simple. We know all about that. And by Adam came the fall of man. And because of the fall of man came Jesus Christ. He had to come in the flesh. Even the Father and the Son. And because of Jesus Christ came the redemption of man, or that resurrection. To be resurrected, to come and appear before him at that throne in his Father. And because of the redemption of man which came by Jesus Christ, they are brought back into the presence of the Lord. Yea, this is wherein all men are redeemed, because of the death of Christ, bringing to pass the resurrection, which bringeth to pass, what? A redemption from an endless sleep, from which sleep all men shall be awakened by the power of God. And if you remember in the writings, where you are in a restful sleep or an unrestful sleep. Right? From which sleep all men shall be awakened by the power of God when the trump shall sound. And I think of that in our day and age when it talks about in Thessalonians. When that trump sounds, those who have died will, that are righteous will be raised at that time and meet Christ in the air along with those who remain. And they shall come forth, both small and great, and all shall stand before the bar, being redeemed and loosed from this eternal ban of death, which death is a temporal death. Now, I was speaking of that resurrection at the time that Christ will return. But there will be another trump or another time when all mankind will stand before God. Everyone will stand before God and give an account for their life. And then cometh the judgment of the Holy One upon them. And then cometh the time that he that is filthy shall be filthy still. And he that is righteous shall be righteous still. He that is happy shall be happy still, that happy rest. And he that is unhappy shall be unhappy still, having a view of all those things that they refuse to do in this life. A very simple thing, isn't it? From verses 70 to 74, it puts it all together for you. So, repentance. Now, how could a man repent except he should sin? How could he sin if there is no law? How could there be a law save there was a punishment? Those are good questions, because that has everything to do with the plan that God has for the children of men. This is in Alma in the 19th chapter, 99th verse. Again, this is where he's speaking to his son. And he asks him that question. Now, there was a punishment affixed. That's eternal death. And a just law given, which brought remorse of conscience unto man. So those commandments. There had to be commandments. We had to teach. God had to teach his children from Adam to our day. He had commandments to give to them, and he gave them to them. Therefore, God gave unto them commandments after having made known unto them the plan of redemption, which we just talked about, that they should not do evil. The penalty thereof being a second death. which was an everlasting death as to things pertaining unto righteousness. So, in the wisdom of God, what did he do? Right from the very beginning, therefore he sent angels to converse with them, which caused men to behold his glory. Throughout the Book of Mormon, it talks about angels visiting and bringing understanding to the children of men. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, you find that too. And they began from that time forth to call on his name. Therefore God conversed with men and made known unto them the plan of redemption, which had been prepared from the foundation of the world. When you go into Genesis and you read about it, when Adam was taken from the Garden of Eden, he was given commandments. And soon after, angels appeared before them and taught. You can find these things in the scriptures and throughout the scriptures. It was the wisdom of God that priests would be ordained. All these things, the angels and now priests, they were all pointing to one person, Jesus Christ. That's what they taught. It's part of the integral part of the plan of redemption. They had to look to Christ. And I would that you should remember that the Lord God ordained priests after his holy order, which was after the order of his Son, to teach these things unto the people. Listen, that the Lord God ordained priests after his holy order, which was after the order of his Son, the Father and the Son, to teach these things unto the people. And those priests were ordained after the order of his Son in a manner that thereby the people might know in what manner to look forward to his Son for redemption. Now in these things here, now I'm in the ninth chapter, and you read them in the eighth chapter, and the ninth chapter, and the tenth chapter. These priests were known as the high priests. The high priesthood. It was from the very beginning. There was priests. You even find from the very beginning with Abel, offering blood sacrifice. That was an acceptable offering before God. And so you had these high priests. And the scriptures talk about there were many high priests. They lived and they died. You find the high priests within that strict law that came afterward, an added law called the Law of Moses. And they were there as well. And they had one thing that they did. They went into the inner veil to offer a blood sacrifice, pointing to that day when Christ would come and give his blood. From the very beginning. There were prophets in Luke in the 11th chapter. Christ is saying, Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send, and these are the words of Christ, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel, right from the very beginning, the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. And that was the Jews. Why? Why was it required of them? Why was Christ saying this to them? They would not listen to his word. They did not acknowledge him as the Son of God. They did not acknowledge him that he was the Messiah that was prophesied from the very beginning of time. They refused. He was in their presence. They refused. And that's why Christ said that. in the book of Moroni, and God also declared unto the prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. You even find the word the Father spoke at the time of Christ. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Right? All pointing to Christ. Jeremiah. Now we're going to this, the new covenant, as it says here in Jeremiah. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's Jeremiah speaking to a people that had been removed from Jerusalem and scattered. He speaks of a new covenant that is to come, pointing to Christ. And these things, this particular thing is even more speaking about, because of Christ, the Holy Spirit was given in full measure. The words of Christ, when he came, in 3 Nephi in the 3rd chapter, and on the morrow come I into the world to shew unto the world that I will fulfill all that which I have caused to be spoken by the mouth of my holy prophets. I love these words, this testimony. Tomorrow I come. This was spoken at a time when they were unto death. Evil was going to destroy good because the sign had not come yet of the birth of Christ. Behold, I come unto my own to fulfill all things which I have made known unto the children of men from the foundation of the world. That's why this was a new covenant. Because Christ came in the flesh. In the 7th chapter of 3 Nephi, it says, and he saith unto them, marvel not that I said unto you that old things had passed away and that all things had become new. Behold, I say unto you that the law is fulfilled that was given unto Moses. He fulfilled it. But why? Because everything in there was a type pointing to him. And it was really from the very beginning of time. From the priests from the very beginning, like Abel offering blood sacrifice as a type of Christ coming to give his blood. For what? Remember what we said? It was so that mercy might be applied. Right? That's what it was for. To those who would look to Christ, mercy would be applied, not justice. The words of the Apostle Paul in Hebrews. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heavens. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. If you can continue to read in the 8th and the 9th chapter of Hebrews, you find Paul talking about that relationship of Jesus Christ fulfilling Zechariah's prophecy. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. So, who was the mediator before Christ came? It was those high priests that offered the blood sacrifice for the sins of the children of men from the very beginning of time. From Adam throughout that period of time till even Abraham when Melchizedek came and offered that blood sacrifice for the sins of the world, of those there. Till the law of Moses came, there was high priest going into the inner veil, did the same thing. For what purpose? To cover sin. But it was only a short-term covering. And you have to read this for yourself to understand that it wasn't a permanent. It was not permanent. But the blood of Christ was permanent. It was offered. That's why it says, a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, the new covenant that Christ came, which was established upon better promises. Why? Because now all the children of men could come and understand the things of God through the Spirit of God, looking to Christ. They wouldn't have to go to a high priest. He sits on his throne. He's there with his Father. He paid with his blood that justice would be satisfied. That's the whole point. That mercy might be able to be applied through what? Repentance and following the commandments of God. How simple can that be? Without price, he offers that. Here in Zechariah, the 6th chapter, 12 and 13, this is that prophecy. I've only got a part of it that Paul was talking about. And shall sit and rule upon his throne. He shall be a priest upon his throne. And the counsel of his peace shall be what? Between them both. Who is he speaking of? Between them both. What does that mean? The counsel of his peace shall be between them both. That's between God and man. Why? Because there was a broken law. There needed to be a mediator between that. An advocate for us. That's why Paul uses the words, how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Jesus Christ. So, Christ's priesthood, under this new covenant, Paul goes in a long dissertation about the old covenant decaying and that there in necessity had to be a new covenant because of the coming of Christ. So you find Christ and he goeth up into a mountain and calleth in unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12. That they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. You can find that in Mark in the 13th chapter and the 14th chapter, 13th and 14th verse. For the purpose of, what was that purpose? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. For what purpose? Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, That's my role as being called an elder, to preach these things, pointing to Christ, unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what they're calling us to be. Be even as I. Isn't that what Christ said? Be even as I. And this is what it says here. That was the purpose of that priesthood. In the Americas, let's look at it. 3 Nephi in the 5th chapter, verse 44. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto Nephi and to those which had been called, now the number of them had been called and received power and authority to baptize, were 12. And blessed are ye, now these are the words that he spoke to the 12. Blessed are ye if ye shall give heed, what? Unto the words of these 12. He's talking to the people. If you give heed to the words of the 12, which I have chosen from among you to minister unto you and to be your servants. No different than what Christ and the 12, that he spoke to the 12 in Jerusalem. For the purpose of, behold, I have given unto you the commandments, therefore keep my commandments. And we can read them. They're no different than they are in the Bible, other than being more easily understood. And this is the law and the prophets, for they truly testify of me. Yea, ye are my disciples, and ye are a light unto this people, which are a remnant of the house of Joseph. I see that parallel between the callings there in Jerusalem and the callings here in the Americas. They're no different. The priesthood of Christ under a new covenant, no longer with the old priesthood. No longer. The Aaronic priesthood is gone away. The Melchizedek priesthood, in a sense, is being held by Christ. He sits on his throne. He is our mediator. And he's called ministry to help each one of us, all of us, to keep the commandments. And to be able to help people to understand those things. Prophecy fulfilled in our day. I go to Jacob in the 3rd chapter. Jacob in the 3rd chapter, verse 136. And I want you to look at these words and think about them. The Lord of the vineyard. Who is that? The Lord of the vineyard. Who is that?
Christ.
Huh?
Christ.
No? The Lord of the vineyard, what? Sent his servant. Who's the servant? The Lord of the vineyard is God, the Father. He sent his servant. And what did his servant do? And the servant went and did as the Lord had commanded him and brought other servants. And they were few. Christ's ministry. This was all in the time frame that I'm talking about. And the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, go, listen, the Lord of the vineyard said unto them, go to and labor in the vineyard with your mites. For behold, this is what? The last time that I shall nourish my vineyard. For the end is nigh at hand, and the season speedily come. It's important to understand that because it speaks to us today, the restoration. I don't want to have to go through all that. That's why I chose Jacob, because he gives us this beautiful picture of the vineyard. Now, at the end, this at the third, this is three, Jacob 3, but if you go to Jacob 4, he speaks about those things. And he says, and now behold, at the beginning of the fourth chapter of Jacob, and now behold, my brethren, as I said unto you that I would prophesy, behold, this is my prophecy, that the things which this prophet Zenos, and so he was quoting Zenos, which happened to be a prophet of the seed of Joseph, concerning the house of Israel, in the which he likened them unto a tame olive tree, and must surely come to pass. And in the day that he shall set his hand again, the second time, those are very important words, because you can go over to the 11th chapter of Isaiah, and it talks about that in the 10th and 11th chapter. The first time he tries to reclaim Israel is when he appeared before them, and they rejected him in Jerusalem. And it talks about the Gentiles cleaving to it. That was the first time. The second time is during the restoration. The second time that he's going to set his hand to reclaim Israel is in the restoration after the falling away. To recover his people is the day, yea, even the last time that the servants of the Lord shall go forth in his power. That's us, all of us who have been called, from the apostles down to the teachers. That's our commission. To do what? To nourish and prune his vineyard. And after that, the end soon cometh. And how blessed are they who have labored diligently in his vineyard. And how cursed are they which shall be cast out into their own place. And the world shall be burned with fire. That's the rest of the story that Jacob left for you to understand. But this prophecy has been fulfilled in our day. And this is the promise, and if ye labor with your mights with me, ye shall have joy in the fruit which I shall lay up unto myself against the time which soon come. Why was man created? Anybody have an idea? Why were we created? Have you thought of that? Why do we have to go through all this? Right? I can understand that. Why was man created? But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. That's why we were created. Without the fall, it said, if you read a little bit before these verses of scripture in the same area, in 2 Nephi in the first chapter, you find that Adam and Eve, in their creation, they knew no good, knew no evil. They were innocent. They would be like a little child, not knowing, not having any joy. They would just exist. In 3 Nephi, in the 13th chapter, I want to connect the dots between that First Nephi, where it says Adam, you know, that statement concerning Adam, that he was, that he might be, and that he might have joy. These are the words of Christ when he was speaking to the three who wanted to tarry. But he said something. He said, yea, your joy shall be full, even as the Father hath given me fullness. Fullness of joy. Think about that. This is the resurrected Christ. All right? And he's speaking to them. And now Jesus Christ himself, because he was in the flesh and he was raised, even as the Father hath given me fullness of joy. If you think about it, when he was writing, and you find the writings in John, in the 14, 15, and 16, he's praying for this. Father, give me the glory that I had when I was with you before the world was. And yet, here he is, he's experienced that which we will experience. And it gives him a little bit more understanding how to succor us and how to persuade us. Even as the Father hath given me fullness of joy. And ye shall be even as I am. And I am even as the Father, and the Father and I are one. So he's saying that you can be like us. And have fullness of joy. John, the 15th chapter, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, what? That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. He knew what was coming. And he's holding it out to each one of you. Isaiah, in the 51st chapter, verse 11. Therefore the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. And this is why they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away. All those things in the flesh will be gone. And the other places says that there will be no more tears or sorrows, but joy. That's why we were created, that we might experience that thing. And the one who created us was able to experience it as well. I guess that's what I'm trying to tell you. And then I want to leave you with a message to the church from Jesus. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Look to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, and put away those things that are not pleasing in his sight, that you might be redeemed from your sins, not in them, because he can't do it. May God bless you in these things, is my prayer.